Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we will be commencing today's shiur is found on Daf Yud Dalid, Omid Aleph, at the two dots, about 9 lines from the top. The Gemara features Shitas Rabbi Shimon that says, Rabbi Shimon Machshe Behiluch. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel that Rabbi Shimon disagreed with the Tanakhama with regard to a machsheves shaloi lishma during the hiluch stage of the processing of a korban. Namely, after a korban, after a sacrifice is slaughtered and one received the blood, then the kohen walks with the blood to the mizbeach. The question is, what happens if during the hilucha the Kohen has a machshava shelo lishma? He has a machshava that's not focused on the identity of the korban or of what we call a lo lishma nature. So according to the Tanakhama, just like during Shechita Kabbalah and Zrika lo lishma, in the case of a Chatas or Pesach would passel the korban, Rabbi Shimon says, I agree with you in 3 of the 4 stages, but not with regard to Hiluch. And he mentions in the Mishnah the reason that he's Machshir B'Hiluch is because it's an Avoda that's Efshir Levatla. In other words, the Mishnah itself says one could conceivably slaughter the sacrifice right next to the Mizbeach and have no need to carry the blood from the slaughter site to the Mizbeach, because he chose chose as his slaughter site to slaughter right next to the Mizbeach. On Daf Yud Dalid, we have a nosei, a topic heading that you find in the outside margin, and it says, even though Rabbi Shimon is machshir a korban whose holocha process is done with an incorrect mindset, the holocha is equals avoda she'efshir levatla, and that's the reason Rabbi Shimon is machshir such a korban. Moidehu b'holocha shel dam hapnimios shemachshava poselas. He will concede that in the case of the carrying of the dam of korbanos, of chatas pnimis, korbanos that are done in the inner sanctum, namely a place that you are not allowed to shecht the korban, or as Rashi says, it's not orach ara, it's not derech eretz to shecht the korban inside the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash. So the korban will out of necessity be slaughtered in the azora, and the dam will be carried from the Azora into the Heichal. That being a required holocha, an indispensable holocha, therefore a machshava will take effect. And we've noted in our introduction when we speak about machshava poselas, you have a machshavas shelo lishma, where you have an unfocused identity of the korban, where you are trying to change the identity of the korban through your mind. Number 2, chutz lizmana, where you do something with an intent to eat the meat or zorek the dam at the wrong time, after the time lapses. And chutz limkoma, where you have an intention to eat the meat or zorek the dam in the wrong place. Those are 3 examples of machshavos psulos. As far as the geometric forms that we will encounter, we see under our Mivneh heading, which is a structural note, triangles with colored in tips in 2 directions. This represents a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the back and forth discussion of the Gemara. So we turn to the Gemara, where we open up with a triangle with its colored in tip facing up. Om Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, Moide Rabbi Shimon, Behiluch Chatois Pnimios, Rabbi Shimon, who in the Mishnah was lenient with regard to a machshava psula during halacha, he will concede that when it comes to the carrying of the blood of chatos hapnimios, the internal processed, the internal chatos, those whose dam is nizrak in the heichal, shemachshava poiseles behu. There, an incorrect machshava will take effect. Since it's an avoda, a stage in the korban processing, an action that's indispensable. And as we mentioned before, that is because one will not slaughter in the heichal, will slaughter outside the heichal, and out of necessity need to carry the dam from the slaughter site into the heichal. During that holocha, there is a possibility, even according to Rabbi Shimon, of the holocha of the machshava psula taking effect. The Gemara asks, "V'homer Rabbi Shimon, kol she'eino al mizbeach achitzon kishlomim, ein chayovin olav mishum pigol." But we know Rabbi Shimon himself to have said that if you're talking about a process done to a korban that is not done in the outside mizbeach, like you have by a shlomim. A shlomim is a type of korban whose entire procedure is done in the azorah, namely that's called the outside, as opposed to in the heichal. So any korban that's not found on the outside mizbeach, like a shlomim, so there's no chiyuv pigol. Pigol as being an example of a machshava psula. So how can you say that Rabbi Shimon will be modeh to in the case of holocha of chatos apnimios? By definition, those are chatos apnimios. They're not on the mizbeach hachitzon. Therefore, how can you say that he would be modeh that a machshava takes hold? Well, we see now a response to that. If you follow the triangles, you see how now we have an answer. Omar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chida, modeh hu lifsoil mikal v'chomer, that even though there won't be a chiyuv pigol. Pigol is a situation where you have a machshava, let us say, to zorek the dam in order to eat the korban at the wrong time, or you shech the korban in order to do the zrikas adam tomorrow. That would create pigol, generally speaking. However, and we have to mention, pigol carries with it, in the case of chutz lizmano, it carries with it a penalty of kores. Rabbi Shimon was just quoted as saying that if you were talking about a korban that's done on the inside and it's not like a shlomim done on the outside mizbeach, so he said pigol will not be chal. So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanin explains that is true. Pigol won't be chal. Pigol with its accompanying chiyuv kores. However, the machshava that one has, the incorrect machshava, will result in the korban itself being rendered unfit. And now we see the explanation. He says that this, he'll be moide, Rabbi Shimon will be moide, that it'll be possible. One who does a hoylocha v'chatos pnimis with a machshava psula, that it will be possible, mikal v'chomer. Uma sheloi lishmon, shehuchshiru b'shlomim, possible b'chatos, mind you, a machshava of sheloi lishmo, which doesn't ruin a shlomim, does ruin a chatos. A machshava of chutz lizmano shepoisel b'shlamim eino din shiyefsol b'chatos, certainly it will be able to render the chatos unfit. Ashkechon chutz lizmano. Well, with that logic, we have established that a machshava of chutz lizmano will pasel a chatos hapnimi during the hoylocha of the dam of the chatos hapnimi. Chutz limkoma minolan, from where do I know that a machshava of chutz limkoma, of outside its right place, as we described before, that too will take effect and passel the korban during the hoylocha of a chatos hapnimi? If you're going to suggest that we should learn from our conclusion that we reached with regard to chutz lizmano and the chatos, no, I can't learn from chutz lizmano. Mala chutz lizmano shekein kores. It might be argued that the reason that the machshav of chutz lizmano passels the korban is because chutz lizmano machshava in general carries with it a chiyuv kores. E mishalo lishmoi, if you'll try to conclude that chutz limakoma will, the machshavas chutz limakoma passes a korban, just like we have established that a machshavas chutz shalo lishmo passes the korban. No, I wouldn't be able to argue that, because I'll say that chutz shalo lishmo has a greater chance of taking effect. Shekain noyheg beboma, the machshava of shalo lishmo will ruin a korban. Will have a hashpo, we'll say, even if done on a private altar. Private altar was a situation that was allowed at certain points in Jewish history prior to the erection of the Beis Hamikdash. Without getting into very detailed time periods, there was a time that private altars, which were called bamas, were allowed. And even though they were allowed, that did not give license to have a machshava shelo lishmo. However, a machshava of shelo bimkomo was non-binding, because there was no concept of specific place in the time of private altars. Private altars were allowed in all places. So that if you tell me that shelo lishmo can passel, I can't extrapolate from that to conclude regarding shelo bimkomo. Shelo lishmo had taken effect in the case of bomos, whereas chutz limakoma would not take effect. The Gemara now answers that, in fact, I will be able to learn from shelo lishmo to the case of the chatos and pesach chutz limakoma. So the Gemara explains, shelo lishmon b'maynoheg, the machshav of shelo lishmo, when does it take effect in ruining a korban? The pesach v'chatos, only with regard to those korbanos does it have any the outcome of ruining the korban. Pesach v'chatos beboma lo korvu, a pesach and chatos were not offered ever on the private altars. Private altars, even though they were allowed, with a number of limitations of what could be offered on them. Therefore, the issue of shekein noyeg beboma is not a pircha, is not an undoing of the logic we suggested before of learning chutz limakoma from the case of shelo lishmo. Once again, I am able to learn from shelo lishmo to chutz limakoma, just like shelo lishmo passels the chatos, so too the machshava of chutz limakoma will passel the chatos. And if you'll say, well, shelo lishmo is noheg by boma, and chutz limakoma is not, we are talking right now about korbanos that have no kesher, they have no shaychus to a boma, so that you can't say shekein noheg b'boma when we're talking about sacrifices that were not offered in the first place on a boma. V'iboy seimo hekeshahu, another explanation of where I will know chutz limakoma from, because there's a hekesh from it, between it, a comparison in the pasuk between chutz limakoma and chutz lizmano. So once I have established that the machshav of chutz lizmano can ruin the korban, and we're talking about, of course, the machshavas, these machshavas during the hoylocha v'chatas apnimi. So if I establish that a machshava of chutz lizmano can take effect, and I tell you at the same time that chutz limakoma is compared to chutz lizmano in the pasuk, I will thereby know that chutz limakoma also can ruin the korban. And that's the Gemara now says, V'iboy seimo hekeshahu. The pasuk is found in Vayikra Zayin Pasuk Yudches. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's glance at the side where we have written in the Pasuk, and it says, V'im he'ochol ye'ochel v'ipsar zavach shlomov v'yoyim ha'shlishi lo yerotzea makri v'yisoy lo yechoshev lo pigul yiyeh. So in that Pasuk, you'll notice the word shlishi, and the Gemara says, zeh chutz lizmano. That's a reference to the third day, which is outside the right time. Pigul, the Pasuk uses the word pigul as well. Ze chutz limakoma. So we see that chutz limakoma is parallel to chutz lizmano. Just like chutz lizmano, such a machshava will ruin the korban, so too chutz l'mkomo will, a machshava chutz l'mkomo will ruin the korban. Rashi points out, and if one would think to raise any questions, namely like suggesting chutz l'zmano is chayav koreis, and that's not the case by chutz l'mkomo, there's a principle that says ein meshivin al hekesh, that one doesn't raise questions or objections when something is stated in a hekesh form. Omar Rava, im timtze lomar, Rabbi Shimon, Savar lo kibrei. Kibrei means like his son. His son is Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, that says the Omar bein ulam v'lemizbeach equals tzafon. Ein machshava me'elis b'ilochas chatois apnimios el mipesach oil mipesach ulam ulifnim. We're going to go over these couple of lines. We find in this Maseches, and also Maseches Yuma, different opinions as to what is categorized as halachic north. Halachic north we refer to in Hebrew by the word tzafon. Tzafon is the area in which, the area of the Beis HaMikdash, in which one slaughters the kodshei kodshim. And if we're talking about a chatas, chatas is an example of a kodshei kodshim. The Beis HaMikdash was structured, was set up in such a way that you entered from the east. The main entrance was from the east, and you would walk toward the Heichal and Kodesh HaKodashim. You would be walking westward. The Mizbeach was positioned in such a way that you would walk up a ramp from the, that's, you would be standing in the southern half of the Beis HaMikdash, walking up a ramp in a northern direction. As far as the exact positioning of the Mizbeach, that itself is subject to a multiple machlokes tanoim. Since our sugi is not dealing with the details of each shita, let us simply say that the definition of tzafon, the most minimalist definition of tzafon, is the area from the face of the, from the far side of the Mizbeach. When we say the far side of Mizbeach, that means that as you're walking up the ramp of the Mizbeach, the first side of the Mizbeach that you hit is called the face of the Mizbeach. So you're walking toward it, sort of walking, meeting its face. And then the far side would be the northernmost side of the Mizbeach. It's called Safo. Now, from the wall of the Mizbeach, from that far wall of the Mizbeach till the opposite wall of the Azora, That is the minimum area known as Tzafon. Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Shimon, who's the son of Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, he expands the area of Tzafon to include the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam, which was the entranceway, so to speak, the structure attached to the Heichal that was further west in the Azora. So he, Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Shimon, says that not only is the area opposite the Mizbeach itself, directly opposite the Mizbeach, considered Tzafon, but the area between the Mizbeach and the Ulam is also classified as Tzafon. So now, with that, with all of that introduction in mind, and you might note that we've provided a little drawing. It's not to scale, and it lacks accuracy to the finest detail. But the illustration we've included here is sufficient to illustrate our sukkah. You can see that there is an area that we've labeled Bein Ulam LeMizbeach. Well, from the midpoint of the Ulam northwards, in that area called Bein Ulam the Mizbeach, that would be kosher for processing a korban chatos. So now let's look in the Gemara and read Rava again. We're talking about the Gemara four lines before the Gemara gets wide. Omar Rava, im timtzaloma Rabbi Shimon savar lo kibrei. If you are to suggest that Rabbi Shimon who holds in our Mishnah that halacha done shelo lishma is okay, it doesn't ruin the korban, because the halacha is something that one can do away with. It's an expendable activity. Now, if he holds like his son, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, the Omar Bein Ulam Vlumizbeach equals Safon, and he could conceivably slaughter a Chatas Hapnimi right over there in the area right next to the entranceway of the Ulam. Ein Machshava Moeles Bahilochas Chatois Hapnimios Elo Mipesach Ulam Ulifnim. The Machshava of Lo Lishma would have an effect on the Chatas Hapnimi, which we suggested above. Rabbi Shimon would agree that a machshava of lo lishma does take effect when the holocha is binding, when it's indispensable. And we mentioned before that a chatas hapnimi must have a holocha. However, how much of the holocha of the chatas hapnimi is indispensable? So we're saying that if you classify the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach as Safon, it's conceivable that you would be able to slaughter the animal right up to the door, right up to the entranceway of the Ulam. If that be the case, so any holocha that one might have, let us say for argument's sake, they chose to shech the Chatas HaPnimi further away from the entrance to the Ulam, and then walk through the Azora till the entranceway to the Ulam. Is that halacha absolutely necessary? No, it's not. Where does the halacha of the Chatas HaPnimi become indispensable? If you hold, like Shitas Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, that the area Bein Ulam Mizbeach is called Safon. The answer to that is, the halacha becomes indispensable only from the point at which you would not have been able to slaughter the korban. From what point would you not have been able to slaughter the korban? The answer to that is, from the entranceway to the ulam inwards. You would not slaughter a korban at Pesach ha'ulam. So at that point, the halacha becomes indispensable. And that's what Rava is observing right now, that if Rabbi Shimon holds like his son that the definition of Tzafon extends to the area Bein Ulam Mizbeach, holocha of the Chatas HaPnimi becomes indispensable only from the point of Pesach Ulifnim, and only at that point would the Machshava Shalishma be able to take effect. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a semi-new sugya that's going to lapse into a discussion concerning the Hoylochas Siluk Bozichin. Before we even read our introductory note on the side of the Gemara under our No Say heading, topic heading, let us just note that in the Heichal, amongst the different vessels, was a shulchan, a table that contained two stacks of what is in English referred to as shoebreads, lechem haponim, and on that table there also were two containers of Lavona, which held in two vessels called the bozichin. These bozichin were carried on every Shabbos from the shulchan to the external mizbeach, the mizbeach sitting in the Azora, and the bozichin, the contents, bozichin, the vona, were offered on the mizbeach. This, in effect, would be the equivalent of a kmitza by a regular mincha, the korban, the lechem aponim, falling under the general category of a korban mincha, but there wasn't a handful of the baked goods taken, so instead of a handful, a kmitza of the meal offering itself, of the showbreads or of the lechem aponim, the bozichin were offered in lieu of that. We can therefore talk about a holocha of the bozichin. In this case, the holocha is not out in, but rather it's from in out, from inside the heichal, from where the shulchan is, to the mizbeach. The general issue that we'll be dealing with in this sugya in this, and we're continuing in the spirit of the discussion we just had with regard to the Chatas HaPnimis. What is the location or the absolute extreme possible location of A, the Shulchan, and the namely the Bazichen, and where is the absolute extreme possible location for burning the Lavona? Of course, everyone would think, well, of course you burn it on the Mizbeach. We're going to encounter a unique shita that says that, and that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that says the entire floor of the Azora, of the Beis HaMikdash courtyard, had a din of Mizbeach. In other words, things could conceivably be offered, can be burnt as korbonos on the floor. Let us now read our nosei, our topic heading. From what point will machshava of lo lishma, for example, be able to take effect with regard to the carrying of the containers that held the levona from the hechal, the closed area of the Beis HaMikdash, ad haktoroson al hamizbeach shebazora, until they're being offered on the mizbeach in the azora? Yesh lemakeid ho'efshoriyos lemokim hamodas hashulchan umokim horoy laktoros abozichin. It will be our job to delineate or focus the exact possible locations of the shulchan, that which contained the bozichin, and the possible area that it's possible to offer up the bozichin, to have them burnt. V'rak mimokoim hanochosam v'ad mokoim haktorosam shayech shiochul machshava psula b'hoilocha, and only from the place that they are resting, the bozichin, where they are placed, from that point till the point that they are burnt, it's during that gap of space, or that area that one must traverse from the point of their hanocha till their point of haktorah, that we can talk about machshava psula b'inchal during the hoilocha. So with that in mind, we also have a structural note, the mivneh. You see a house form. Sidra shel efshoriyos, we're going to see a series of possibilities. Hamitzamtzemois mokoim kidiiso liel banose, as we mentioned before, a series of ideas or of possibilities that limit the area. Bekesher lebozichin shalechem aponim, with regard to these bozichin which contain the levona that's related to the lechem aponim. We now start the Gemara. Ve'im timtzelomar sovar lo kerebi Yehuda. If one will say that Rabbi Shimon will hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Toich Azora Mekadesh, the floor of the Azora sanctifies. And when we say sanctifies, we're really saying it's an area, the floor of the Azora is a place that's suitable to offer sacrifices. Ein machshava mo'eles b'hoilochas siluk bozichin elo mipesach heichal v'lachutz. The improper machshava would be able to take effect only from the entrance to the hechal, and you can take advantage of our diagram for this as well, from the entrance to the hechal, which is the point at which the shulchan conceivably could have been positioned, even though that's not its official position, but halachically speaking, it could have been positioned over there, from Pesach, that's the Pesach hechal. So it's from Pesach HaHechal, you would have to carry the Bozichin. Where, up to what point would you need to carry the Bozichin? Well, up till the point that you encounter the Azora, which is not too much area. It's not, you don't have to walk too much. You're basically cutting through the ulam. That is the area that the halacha would be indispensable. Namely, at this point we're saying, you wouldn't be able to place the shulchan in the ulam. You would be able to place the shulchan just till the entrance to the hechal. You wouldn't be able to burn the bozichin, the levona, on the floor of the ulam. So, therefore, you'd have to walk through the ulam from the Pesach Hechal to the Ritzpas Azara. That's the area of indispensable halacha, and hence only during that time, if one has a machshava psula, would the machshava take effect. The intim silomar, and we're going to be building up, or as we're more accurately, we're going to be increasing, or in the limitation of area during which halacha could take effect, as you'll see. The intim silomar sovar kedushas hechal ve'ulam chado he, and if you accept the opinion that says that the ulam has the same level of sanctity as the hechal, which would mean that you could actually place the shulchan in the ulam. Where do you burn the levona, the bozichin, on the floor of the azora? How far do you have to carry? How far is the holocha indispensable? Ein machshava moyeles elo mi pesach ulam v'lachutz. Pesach ulam is the area, we can call it the thickness of the entranceway. The thickness of the entranceway at this point not being considered the same level of sanctity as the ulam itself, so I wouldn't be able to place the shulchan in the Pesach ulam, nor would I be able to burn the levona in the Pesach ulam. Therefore, I would have to do halacha for those five amos that constitute the thickness of the entranceway of the ulam. So we'll read that again, the last phrase, Ein machshava moeles ela mi pesach ulam v'lachutz. V'intim tzelomar toich ha-pesach kilifnim, and if you say that the entranceway has the din, has the status of the ulam, and I would be able to actually place the shulchan over there. So I could place the shulchan at the edge, the outer edge of the entrance to the ulam. Where does the burning take place? Well, on the floor, which is right at the edge of the entrance to the ulam. So basically the shulchan is right next to the area that the burning of the levona could take place. So if you say that tocha pesach lefnim, ein machshava moyeles afilu psio achas, elo bichtei hoishotas yodoi. You wouldn't even have to take a step. You could basically stand at the entrance to the ulam, the outside edge of the entrance to the ulam, you would stand inside that entranceway and stick your arm out with the levona in it, with the bozichin, to the floor right below, right there. That's called the extent of hoshotas yodoi, stretching out your hand. So if while stretching out your hand you have a machshava psula, then it would take effect. And by the way, all of this Gemara is suggesting that any other halacha, let us say I didn't position it right there. Let's say the shulchan remained in its normal location in the Hechal. Nevertheless, since in theory the shulchan could be positioned at the edge of the ulam, all of the halacha that I do in fact perform from the Hechal till that point is unnecessary. Where is there an action of movement that's indispensable? Only from the edge of the ulam to the floor of the azara. That could be accomplished by simply stretching out your hand. The intin salomar sovar, and if you'll say that Rabbi Shimon holds hoylocha shaloi berega loishma hoylocha, that the moving of something that's moved other than by walking, and that's not considered halacha, then the stretching out of the hand to move it from location A to location B, from Pesach Ulam to the Ritzpas Azara, that's not called even Holocha. So then, Ein Machshava Moeles Klal. So in the case of the Bozichin, Machshava would take no effect whatsoever in the case of Holochas Bozichin. Amalei Rav Sheshes the Amurei de Rav Chista. Rav Sheshes requested of the Amore, the one who said over, who publicized the lectures of Rav Chista, who the practice in the time of the Gemara was that the Rav would say over his Divrei Torah to a man that would serve as a human PA system. He would a human microphone, if you will, and that's the Amora. So Rav Sheshes requested of the Amora of Rav Chista the following: Boi mine Rav Chista, ask of Rav Chista the following question: Hoylocha bizar mahu, what is the din if a non kohen does the holocha? Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a nose mivne heading. You'll notice a trapezoid form that's featured. This is one of our series markings. Shitois be'inyan holocha bizar. Different opinions with regard to the holocha done by a non kohen. One opinion will say kshera, a second opinion will say it's a machlokas, it's a controversy, and the third opinion will say that it will render the korban unfit. So the question is presented. Amale, Rav Chista answers, and this is the first of several answers. Kshera, it's okay. Umikra misayeni, and a posik supports my opinion. The posik says, Vayishchatu es ha-pesach, Vayizriku ha-koyanim. The next two words are not in the posik, but it helps in the understanding. It says, Es ha-dam, mi-yodam, valvim afshitim. It says there were those that slaughtered a korban, and we know that shechita ksher bazar, a non-kohen is allowed to do shechita. The pasuk says the sprinkling of the dam was done by the kohanim, where the kohanim took the dam from their hands, from the hands of whom? Of the shochatim, of the zorim. So how did the dam get from the point of shechita to the kohanim? They got to it by the fact that the shochatim, who were zorim, they carried it, they did the holocha till the kohanim. We might want to point out just one detail, is that even the shechita is done by a zar, the kabbalah sadam has to be done by a kohen. So the dam was received by the kohen, but the shochatim took the dam from the kohanim who had done the kabbalah and carried it to the kohanim who were going to do the zrika. Mosiv Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes now raises an objection to this understanding from a Tanaic source. The source lists a number of people that are unacceptable for korban processing. Leading off the list, you have Zar, and we've dashed underlined that to draw your attention to it. Zar, the Onein, Shikar. An Onein is an individual who lost a relative and has not as yet buried them. So during the period of time before the burial, he's called an oinein, shikar, someone who's intoxicated, ubamum, or a person with a blemish, physical blemish, bekabola, beholocha, bezrika, posel. We've emphasized the key word beholocha, and also we noted the word posel with a dashed underline. V'chein yoshe v'chein small, and likewise someone who does avoda while seated or with his left hand. If we just focus on our dashed underlined words, we see zar b'hoylocha posel. Tufta, that is a rejection of Rav Chista's position. The Gemara asks v'ho Rav Chista kro komar, but Rav Chista cites a posuk. How do we explain the fact that the Kohanim who did Zrika Sadam get the dam from the Shochatim who were Zorim? The Gemara answers, the Ovid Maisa Itztabo. Itztabo means a platform. Rashi explains exactly what happened. Maisa Itztabo at the top. Oimdin b'mekoimon hazar eitzel hakoyin hamakabel. The shechita took place. At the point the shechita took place, a kohen received the blood. He received the blood in a vessel. V'hakoyen, the koyen that received the blood, noisnoi loi, he gave it to the zar, to the shoychet. The oichazo, this zar holds it. Ad shebo hazorek v'not lo miyodo, until the zorek, the koyen who would do this zrikas dam, came to the zar, who was standing like a statue, holding the blood that was placed in his hands by the koyen that was mekabel the dam. The ein hazar mekarven letzad hamizbeach, the zar who's holding the dam that he got from the mekabel that placed it in the zar's hands, the zar doesn't cause the dam to come any closer to the mizbeach. Lo beholochas regel, v'lo behoshotas yad. He doesn't shuffle his feet. He doesn't outstretch his hand. In other words, he doesn't take the dam from the mekabel, thereby drawing the blood closer to the mizbeach. Elo ki itztabazu shemenichin kli oleo. Rather, he stands like a platform that one would place something on it. So in this case, the Makabel Hadam, who was a Kohen, placed the vessel of Dam on the Tzar, and the Kohen Hazore came and took it from the Tzar, who was standing there like a statue. Continuing in the more, Rabbi Rav Yosef Amitra Bahu, we notice another trapezoid form. This is number two, because we're in a middle of a series of opinions regarding the Tzar Beholocha. So Rabban Rav Yosef Dami Travayu, Holocha Bazar Machlekes Rabbi Shimon V'Rabbanan. The issue of a zar doing the halacha is dependent on the Machlokes Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon di Omar Avoido Shefshu Levat Olav Avoido Hi Ksheiro Bazar. According to Rabbi Shimon that we saw in the Mishnah that said that a Machshava Shalol Lishma during halacha doesn't ruin the korban because it's an expendable activity. Being that it's an avodah shef shulavatlo, if a zar does it, it doesn't ruin the korban. The rabbanon psula, the rabbanon who said machshavat shelo lishma will ruin a korban during holacha. If a zar does the holacha, that too will ruin the korban. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. We've entitled on the side under our mivneh heading the structural note. The triangles here are used as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the discussion. The point facing up, kushios, point facing down, tshuvos, answers. So with the point facing up, we see questions. Omar le abaye, v'ho shchito de'avoido shi'i efshir levatlo ukshero bizar. Abaye raises an objection to the classification of holocha as being kosher bazar under Rabbi Shimon's name, because it was an avodah she'efshu levatla, implying that if it's an expendable activity, then and only then a zar can do it. Abaye says, I'm going to show you an indispensable activity that nevertheless is kosher bazar. He says, v'hashchita, slaughtering a sacrifice, d'avodah she'efshu levatla. It's an activity that's indispensable. Ukshera bazar, and even so, it's still okay if done by a non-kohen. Omale, so they answer, shchita lav avodahi. Shchita is not classified as an avoda. It's not classified as an official process in the korban procedure. The Gemara asks, "Velo, is that so? That shchita is not an avoda?" V'omarav zera, omarav. Shchitas pora bazar psula. If the pora aduma were slaughtered by a non kohen, it would be unfit. So if you're going to tell me that shchita is not an avoda, why would it be that the slaughtering of the pora aduma by a non kohen should render it unfit? The Omar Rav Popo alo, and concerning the pora aduma, Rav Popo comments. Elozer v'chuka k'siv bo. Elozer representing, which was Elozer HaKohen representing Kohanim, and the word chuka appears in the Torah in the context of the Paraduma, and we know that the word chuka tells me that something is binding. So we see from the presence of these words, Elozer and chuka, that the Kohen serving as Shoichet is binding with regard to the Paraduma. Well, how can you say that Shechita is not an Avoda and at the same time say that it must be done by a Kohen? Shiny Paro. The Gemara responds to that. Abaye responds. Rabban Rav Yosef would respond to that and say that Paro is different. The reason that Paro is kosher, bizarre, the Shechita is kosher. The Shechita is posel. Shechita's Paro is posel bazar is the Kodesh Berek Abayasi. It's a different classification of Kedusha. It's classified, different classification of holiness. It's classified as Kodesh Berek Abayas, as opposed to Kodesh Mizbeach, as opposed to things sanctified for the altar. The Gemara asks, Velav Kol Dekein Hu? Well, you haven't helped at all by classifying the Pora as Kodesh Berek Abayas. If anything, we can make a Kal V'chomer. Kodesh Berek Abayas Havyavoda, if you say in the context of Kodesh Berek Abayas that Shechita is considered an Avoda, and Kodesh Berek Abayas is a lower realm of holiness than Kodesh Mizbeach. So in this lower realm of holiness known as Kodesh Berek Abayas, you tell me that Shechita is an Avoda, Kodesh Mizbeach lav Avoda. Could it possibly be that in Kodesh Mizbeach Shechita is not considered an Avoda? Omar Rav Shisha Brei Dravidi, Rav Shisha says, in fact, I can tell you that. I can tell you Midi Dehave Amaros Negoyim. We can parallel the issue of the Shechita of a Kohen by the Paraduma to the way we treat the halachas of Maros Negoyim. Maros Negoyim is a situation where a person developed some skin discoloration, which is of a suspicious nature, suspicious in the sense that it looks like he is developing tzoras, and in order to determine whether the individual is a mitzor or not, a kohen, and only a kohen, is licensed to check it out. That's called marois negoyim. The lav avodahi, that has nothing to do with sacrifices, ubayakuna, and nevertheless, it requires a kohen. So from the fact that poraduma requires a kohen, that does not necessarily establish shechita as an avoda. It's a type of gzeiros hakosuv that a kohen is necessary for it. So, at this point, the issue of a zar doing shechita, we can in fact say that a zar is kosher to do shechita because it's a non avoda. And we are thereby able to support the original idea that Reb Shimon holds. Holocha, bizarre, does not passel the korban because it's an avoda she'efshu levatla. The Gemara asks, the harei holocha sevorim lekevesh, the carrying of the limbs of a korban to the ramp of the mizbeach, which leads up to the point that at which they'll be burnt. The avoda she'efshir levatlahi. It's an avoda that is expendable. Upsula bazar, and yet azar cannot do it. When we say that the halacha sevirim lekevish is avoda she'efshir levatlah, that's because it's possible for the shechita and the skinning and the dismembering of the korban to be done right next to the mizbeach, thereby alleviating the need to carry the limbs to the mizbeach. And we say that holochas eivorim lekevesh, even though it's something that's expendable, if it's done by a zar, it would ruin the korban. Dichtiv v'hikriv hakohen es hakoil v'hiktir hamizbecha. The Omar Mar Zu Halacha Sevorim Lekevesh. This pasuk, when it says Vehikriv Hakohen Es Hakol, is a reference to the carrying of the limbs to the ramp, and it says in the pasuk a kohen. So we see a kasha on the original hesber, and this triangle, by the way, is this that we just encountered, is the same position as the triangle that we saw by Abaye. In other words, we're in a question mode on the original explanation that we saw by Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef as to why Rib Shimon says that Holocha done by a Zara is kosher. We originally said the reason it's kosher according to Rabbi Shimon is because it's an Avodah Shefshel of Atla. Here we have an example of an Avodah Shefshel of Atla, and it's Posel Bazar. The Gemara answers, Hecha de Goli Goli, where the Torah reveals, like in the case of Holocha Seborim, that a Kohen is necessary. The Torah, there it reveals it. But in the case of Holochas Dam, for example, Logoli, so the Torah does not reveal that you need to have a Kohen, and hence a Kohen is not a Kohen is not Me'akev for the Holocha. The Gemara asks, V'lav called a Kohen who? Is it not, can we not make a Kal V'chomer from the point concerning Holochas Evorim? Uma Holochas Evorim Lekevesh. The carrying of the limbs to the kevesh, which is not something that is a binding activity with regard to achieving atonement. And even so, even though it's a non-binding, it's an expendable activity. It's something that if it wasn't done at all, the client would still achieve his atonement. And yet, something as subsidiary in nature as that requires a kohen. Hoylochas dam de ma'akva kapora lo kol shekein. The carrying of the dam, which eventually leads to the sprinkling, the dam represents the source of atonement that one receives. It's ma'akev the kapora, it's binding with regard to achieving atonement. All the more so you should have a kohen requirement. So from this kal v'chomer, we would conclude that a zar should be posel for holochas dam. Once again, if for holochas evorim a zar would be posel, certainly for holochas dam. The Gemara concludes this point by saying kashya, that truly represents a difficulty. So if you focus on this very last conclusion, it would be more likely to suggest that Rabbi Shimon may hold that a machshava shulah lishma b'halacha doesn't possible it, but a zar is not allowed to do halacha. Itmar nami yomar ula, omar abelazar, halacha bazar psula, afilu the Rabbi Shimon. And hence you have this third approach to Rabbi Shimon, to understanding his position with regard to Holocha Bazar, and not specifically Rabbi Shimon, but a third opinion in general with regard to Holocha Bazar. Rabbi Ula holds that it is posel according to all opinions, even according to Rabbi Shimon, that even though Machshava doesn't posel by the Holocha, nevertheless, it's considered an Avoda, and as such, a zar is not allowed to do it. At this point, we have a slash mark in the Gemara, indicating that which follows is a new idea. The topic on the side is, under our no se heading, is holocha shelo beregel. It's the carrying or the movement of the dam towards the mizbeach, however, not by foot, not by walking with it. Ibailoho, hoylocha shelo beregel, shmo hoylocha oiloi shmo hoylocha. How would hoylocha shelo beregel be accomplished? So we actually had a reference to this in today's Gemara quite a bit earlier, where one would stretch his hand out. Imagine there would be from the slaughtering point, the dam after it's received would be handed from the Makabel Hadam, would hand it to someone else who's standing stationary, and he would in turn hand it to someone else standing stationary. In the meantime, the blood is being moved from the slaughter site to the Mizbeach without anyone walking, simply by handovers. Is that considered Holocha? The nafkamina, by the way, is, well, if it's considered holocha, then a machshava, a psula, could ruin it, according to the Rabbanan. And if a zar would do this handover, it would render it puzzle if you would consider it holacha. Before we go further, we have a new geometric form in this sugya. We have a house marking, and on the side of our gemara, there's a mivneh. We have an indication of what the role of this shape is. So you see the house marking facing with the point facing up. Nisayon lehochiach the kosher, an attempt to say that holacha shelo beregel is considered true holacha. We will then see the house marking with its point facing down, nisayon lehochiach the puzzle, an attempt of the Gemara to indicate that it's we could call this a dechia. Or nisayon lohiach the pasul. Either we'll call this a rejection, or an undoing of what was just said, or an attempt to prove otherwise that it's no good. So we have in effect a ma'akav over here, an attempt to keep track of the discussion. So toshma, we have a Tanaic source that says, and we saw this quoted on the upper part of the page, you can see with the arrow that we've supplied to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, if you skim up the page, you'll find another corresponding arrow where indicating from where this quote comes. It says, V'chein yoshev, v'chein smoil posel. We want to infer from this, ha'oimed dumya di yoshev, kosher. A yoshev is a problem, according to this approach, in that he is sitting while doing whatever avoda. However, if you would have someone that's standing, his standing is like sitting, namely, just like sitting, a person is stationary, he's not moving from his place, so too, someone who is standing stationary, who's not moving by foot at all, he's just standing, as we say, stationary, that we are inferring, that would be kosher. So what are we describing in effect? We're describing holacha shelo beregel. The Gemara rejects this analysis by saying Dilma Yoshev, maybe the Yoshev that's posel is that he's posel in even though he's the koshayef meshav, he's shuffling along. And oime dumi di Yoshev, the inference that we drew that if he would be someone standing in a similar fashion of the Yoshev, he is denied purta. He's also moving a little bit. He's not taking major steps, but some type of incremental foot movement is taking place. So we're saying that would be kosher. However, standing as a statue and simply handing something along by stretching out one's hand and handing it to the next fellow, that would not be good. Toshma. So we try again, and by virtue of the position of this toshma, we're going to try to prove that hoilocha shelo beregel, the movement of the dam from the site of Kabbalah to the Mizbeach by handover, will be kosher. Let's see how we do that. This source is coming from the context of the Hakrovas Korban Pesach. The source says, Shochat Yisrael, v'kibel ha-koyen, a non-Kohen would do the Shechita of the Korban Pesach, and the Kohen would be positioned there to receive the blood. V'nosno l'chavero, v'chavero l'chavero. The Kohen who received the blood would hand it to his friend, and his friend to his friend. It would be a type of a chain of people. So, what are we describing over here? We're describing holocha shelo beregel, simple handovers of the blood from one to the next. The Gemara rejects this by suggesting hosom nami denaidi porta. There too, they're moving a little bit. Umai komashmlon. So if they're actually moving a little bit, so that would be a basic holacha. What's the point of this source? The answer is umai komashmlon. What is this source then telling us? Telling us that we wouldn't know otherwise. The answer is Baroiv Am Hadris Melch. This source is conveying the idea that the more people you have involved, the greater the honor to the Almighty. In other words, you could have had a simple shechita process, and the Kohen who was Mekabel Adam himself carried it to the Mizbeach. But instead, the source tells us the one who was Makabla didn't himself carry it. There was another person to whom he handed it, and he didn't even carry it. He handed it to someone else, thereby increasing the number of people. However, each person along this chain shuffled along a little bit, otherwise it would not have been kosher. It would have been Holocha Shel Baregel. However, now notice how the Toshma house form is pointing downwards. We just came off a rejection which indicated that Holocha Shel Baregel would in fact be no good, and the house form assumes here the same position, indicating that it will be no good. Toshma, Kibel HaKosher, V'nosan L'posol, Yachzir L'kosher. A Kohen was Mekabel Adam, he's called HaKosher, he's the one who's supposed to Mekabel Adam. He gave it to someone who's posol. Now, Nosan L'posol indicates Hoylocha Shelo Beregel. He handed it to someone who's unfit. So, what is the halacha? Yachzir l'kosher. He's got to return it to the kosher, to the person who's acceptable. So we see from here that halacha shelo beregel, that stage where the kosher handed it to the posel, that was an unacceptable thing to do. Therefore, the posel who received it has to give it back in order for halacha to be done properly. The Gemara rejects this and says, Emo yachzor hakosher v'yekablo. If we go over the story again, there was kabolas adam that was done properly, and it was handed without foot movement. It was handed over to someone who was posel. The person who's posel remained stationary. He doesn't hand it back, but rather the kosher, the kohen, will say, he runs up to the posel individual and takes it from him to the mizbeach. So if we accept this approach, we are the stage from which it was received, the dam was received by the kosher and given, handed to the posel, that's not undone, that remains. So being that that remains, we're in effect saying that Holocha Shelo Baregel is okay. Itmar. We have a new geometric form, and it's described on the side. We have a bow tie and a double underline as well. So the double underline is an emphasis of Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan, double underline being one of our series markings, hence we'll see a repetition of Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan on the next Omid as well. And the bow tie represents Memros Be'inyan Hoylocha Shel Baregel, different comments or observations, discussions concerning Hoylocha Shel Baregel. So the Gemara here opens up with one of these, Itmar, Omar Ulo Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hoylocha Shel Baregel, Loi Shmo Hoylocha. It's not considered a legitimate fulfillment of Hoylocha. And it's, as Rashi says at the bottom, V'enok Sheiro Leholicho Kein. It's not acceptable to do halacha like this. The ein machshava mefagelis bo, and since it's an improper way of doing an avoda, it's not subject to a machshavas pigol of taking hold. The Gemara on the top of Tesvov will deal with the question of, can this incorrect situation be rectified? So, Amir Tzashem, next time we will deal with that question. And with that, we conclude our shiur for today.